When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, bringing you another weekly look at the world of non-league football. He's top of the tree, but feet on the floor. We chat to Barnet boss Dean Brennan on the project that has united staff on and off the field and brought fans closer as the club laser in on a return to the Football League. Celebrating International Women's Day this weekend, the Trident Leagues at Steps 3 and 4 are embracing the Her Game 2 movement. We speak with Lucy Ford, co-founder of Her Game 2 and their head of grassroots, in why it's important non-league leads the way in the changing of football culture. John Couch wears the non-league paper hat this week. He has his own trophy and FA Vase quarter-final reviews and semi-final previews, manager movements, and what's to come in this week's non-league paper. Time then to sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. Well, I had to get the next man on because I seem to be talking about him more than I talk about the rest of my family. I've known him for many, many years, and I'll admit that when he took on his current job, I said I wasn't quite sure if it was the right one for him. He knew better. Of course he knew better. And it's a pleasure to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show one of our own, Mr. Dean Brennan. Welcome back, Dean.
How are you, Tim? Nice to be on again. Nice to speak to you.
Well, it's nice to get you on. It's been a big week for you guys. What are you now? 9 points clear? I know the club's chasing you, games in hand. Another big week ahead of you. You just keep doing what you do. You do it well.
To be fair to our players, the standards they set themselves, they've kept adhering to, and we've got a real vibe around the football club now. We've found different ways to win football matches, especially the last 10, 11 games. The standard we played has been excellent, and we've just got to keep doing that. We've got to keep going to the line, keep our guard up. We know how quickly this business can change. We ain't naive. I've been in it a long time now, so I think for us, keep reach them standards, keep it, go for our points target, which is very important. And that's something we just spoke about all season, really, as a group, myself, the players, the staff. And we got another tough test on Saturday against Dagenham.
Yeah, I think technically you're safe from relegation, aren't you? I mean, are the sights set on the title?
Always, because the points target we set ourselves would win us that title, I believe. If someone was to get over that, I'd be the first to ring them and congratulate them or see them and shake their hand. So that was always our target. We come second last year. There's only one place you can go from there, and that's, and you've got to get first, haven't you? So that's what we're trying to do. So please God, we can do it this year.
And you've always been about mindset, you know, as when you were a player, as a manager, to come back from going so close last year to now be up there again, that takes a lot, both physically and mentally, for the players, for you and the rest of your staff.
Well, we didn't dwell on last year, and without defeat, you can't have victory. That's where you learn the most, in defeat. I'm a big believer in that. Well, I've been doing this job, I think it's my 14th year. I've won two titles, one at Hemel and one at Wheelstone, and I'm hoping to win another one. And, you know, I don't want to go too far ahead of myself because I know how quick this business can change. I think our mentality has been one game at a time. a focus has been a points total, a points per game average, that steady focus since day one, since the first game we played away at Halifax that we lost. And I know the players have the capabilities, the togetherness we've created. The players from the first day of pre-season have gone to the line, which has been imperative for them, for the team, for the group, for the club. And everyone's pulled together. And that's the only way you can have success in this business.
Yeah, and you don't take any prisoners. You've always been friendly with referees and friendly with opposition people. But there's an element that we can see that you're a winner and that you need to win. This season, I've watched your post match interviews. I've seen your reactions. You seem a little bit calmer this year.
Every interview I do, every message I give out will always be towards players, towards the football club, towards us. I can only affect what we do. So, you know, there's always, it's never about me. That's very important. Everyone's as equal as me. The kit man's as important as I am. Their supporters are more important than I am. From our medical team to, you know, everyone has the same importance, in my opinion, in this business. It ain't the dictatorship. It's not Dean Brennan that's like making us win this football games. It's everybody together, and I think that's the reason for it. And like I said to you earlier, you know, when you lose football matches, you think, right, how can I fix it? I'm the fourth person to look at that and look at myself and then see how we can fix it and how we can solve it. And you know, when we got beat in the playoffs last year, I didn't go on holiday straight away. I spent several weeks, you know, assessing, debriefing the season. How can we get better? How can we do what Chesterfield did? How can we, I think they got 96, 97 points. There might even be more. How can we get a certain amount of points that puts us in that position? And that was my only thought process. And we got to work early, really, for the 24-25 season. And so far, it's gone really well. And we want to keep them standards and keep rolling.
And as a football club as well, you say it's not Dean Brennan. You've never been about football that way. But the people you've built around you, there's such a close, tight-knit community with the fans, with the board, with all your backroom stuff, with the players. It feels like one of those big, happy families that we know win titles in non-league.
Yeah, I think people, at any level, whether it's the Premier League, whatever level it is, Liverpool have that togetherness at the minute, don't they? You look at the togetherness they've got, and the manager's done a fantastic job. So, you know, any division, whether it's the leagues below, whatever it is, you have to have togetherness. You can't do it individually. And what we have at Ayr Football Club, we've had time, which is very important. And with that time, we've managed to keep progressing every season. And we've progressed and progressed and progressed. And we're hoping this is our time this year to take the football back to the EFL, which is my dream. That's what I said to the chairman when I first come here. I want to take the football club back to the EFL. And please God, we can do it this season.
Yeah, and I remember you telling me about that, having those conversations. And, you know, I'm not often a non-believer, but I knew what you could achieve. I just wasn't sure whether the world was ready for that. But you... Yeah, as you say, you're so close. But also, with everybody being with you, you've also got then the back to Barnet attempt to get Barnet back within the borough of Barnet, playing in a new football stadium. Everything is just coming together at the right time.
Well, there's been a lot of tough times at Ayr Football Club. It's been out of the EFL for 10 years. We want to get back into it. Obviously, the campaign to get the club back into the borough is fantastic. That's been led by our owner, Mr. Cliantos, and the people around him. So we're winning football matches. It raises the profile of the football club, so we can come on radio shows like yourself and we can talk about it, and we do bits with the zone, and there's no doubt all of that helps. And Barnet deserves a football club in its borough. It's a great area, it's a beautiful area as well, the town itself. But Edgware, the facilities you've got at Edgware are amazing. We're blessed with the facilities we've got as well. People forget that, you know, that the facilities we have are top class, if anything, the League One. So the chairman's done a great job there as well. So look, the main thing focus for us now is all that's great stuff. The main focus is for the whole football club is to get over this next huge hurdle, which is 10 more games left. And then the next flight of hurdles for us is Dagenham at home on Saturday morning.
And I know you take, you know, you're going to take each day game as it comes this weekend, as you say, Dagenham and Redbridge. But you're also... Yeah, you've got the Bible of players, the Black Book. Are you already recruiting for next year as to whatever division you're in?
Well, that process started back the first week in January, where we start looking to next season. We always look 6 months ahead. We have got different scenarios with different players' contracts at the minute within the football clubs, so they have to be solved as well. But I just think for everybody, it's the whole focus is on, you know, the next game, staying humble, you know, and once we get that, if we can get that sorted as quick as we can, which we know it's going to be very difficult. We know Forest Green are not going away. We know they're very good side. We know York are not going anywhere. Ince's done a great job there. So we understand that we've a lot of work to go through. There's a lot of football to be played. So I think that's just the main part of call. And then when it comes to recruitment, we're always looking. That's something that never changes. 24/7 on recruitment. And I feel the key to recruitment is if you get an opportunity to upgrade, you should upgrade. And that's sort of always been my motto.
And you've got that knowledge. You're always at a game of football if you're not driving to a game of football. Has it changed? Because you're now top of the National League. I often speak to managers and they've become a bit more distant from that sort of selecting players and sort of doing those negotiations. I think that's one of the bits that you enjoy most. So I can't imagine you've taken a step back from that.
Definitely not. We're taking more steps forward, to be honest with you. You know, look, you can't rest on your laurels in this business. If you drop your guy in this business, you'll be getting knocked out. It's how it works. You know, it just put you on the backside. You know, just from our point of view, we've set a standard. That's me included. And I have to keep adhering to that. We've just got every one of us. And we won't rest it. You know, whatever happens this summer, whatever happens come May the 4th, whether we have to go to the playoffs or whether we go up as champions, it'll still be the same process. The same process is put in place. The day I fall out of love with it is the day I leave, do you know what I mean? And I'll give up the business. But I love it. I'm very lucky to do the job I do. I've got some brilliant people around me. We've got a great staff. We've got good people above us. We've just got really good people around the players' attitude, application, the sacrifices they've made, the support that the players have had from their families to get them into this position. All of these things matter. And we're an open football club. We have a lot of people in all the time. And, you know, different managers that are at work have been in with me. I just think it's important because I've been in that position where I've been out of work and it's not nice. So we like to help people where we can, and that's how we work, really. But the main thing, look, this weekend's a huge weekend for us, Tim, because we're doing football for a fiver, we're doing kids for a quid. These are all the incentives we're doing to sort of, you know, generate a bigger gate, bigger attendance at our football club. We know we're sort of stuck between. It's great for recruiting players because the clubs are stuck between, but some big football clubs are around their area and we can't seem to get the attendance as we wish we could, like a York would, you know, they'd be getting 6,500, 7,000, we're only getting 2,000. So these are the kind of things we want to do, which is very important.
All right, 12:30 PM kickoff on Saturday against Dagenham. You're certainly banging in the goals in the National League. You're putting on performances. As I say, your last three victories, 5-0, 3-0, 4-0. If that doesn't bring the crowds in, what's going to?
Yeah, look, please God, like I say, the incentive to come with kids for a quid and football for a fiver is huge. I think the gate's going to be quite large as it is. So get down. Listen, the Hive is buzzing at the minute. And I suppose we're probably the hottest ticket in town where all the goals are scoring. So the players have to be able to handle that pressure as the crowd gets a little bit bigger. But I've no doubt they will. And we'll play on the front foot again. Dagenham will make it difficult for us. We know that. It's a London derby, so it's got the makings of a great game because they're fighting for their lives and we're fighting for promotion, so it should be a good game.
Well, if I could be there, I certainly would. Dean Brennan, it's been a pleasure to get you on. I really appreciate you giving us some time. Best of luck at the weekend and for the rest of the season. We're certainly keeping an eye on it, and hopefully we'll speak again end of the season when you can tell us what it's like winning another title.
Please, God, Tim. God bless you.
Okay, so maybe it was my upbringing, maybe it was my spending most of my football life at a club where they spearheaded having strong female characters at the heart of running the club. Maybe it's just having three daughters, maybe it's having female business partners, or maybe working in offices where females are the majority, or maybe I'm just normal. But I've always tried to embrace the world of non-league as a universal place for all, where everybody is comfortable to come and enjoy their afternoons out. but I do appreciate that it hasn't always been the case. So this next story struck a chord as being very important when I saw it. So to tell us more, it's a pleasure to welcome to the Non-League Football Show co-founder of Her Game 2 and their head of grassroots, Lucy Ford. Welcome, Lucy.
Thank you for having me on.
So am I normal?
Yeah, I would. Well, that's what we hope, that, you know that everyone can enjoy football, whoever they are, in a safe and inclusive environment for all. But unfortunately, we know that that's not the case for everybody.
And tell us about Her Game 2. I said you're one of the founders. It's really gained momentum in recent years.
Yeah, so it initially started in May 2021 by 12 female football fans who'd all experienced sexism either online or in person, just for supporting their football team. So we decided to do a video to highlight our own experiences, which we put out on an FA Cup final day. And we had a massive response. The initial video actually got a million views in 24 hours. And since then, it's kind of grown, really. Obviously, we're all volunteers. We all do this alongside our full-time jobs. But yeah, I describe it to FIFA as like a second full-time job. But, you know, I think because we are so passionate about it, and we really want to make that difference for the next generation and you know, and make football inclusive for everybody, that's why we're so passionate and why we, you know, continue to do what we do.
Yeah, and I was lucky enough to meet Alison Schofield, the Her Game 2 ambassador at Oldham Athletic, a couple of years ago, presented her with a worthy award at the Non-League Papers National Game Awards. And until then, I think many people thought that the movement was more about the professional game, which is why this weekend is such an important statement, I think. A tie-up with the Trident Leagues, the Northern Premier, the Isthmian Southern League. Tell us more.
Yeah, so obviously for us, we want to partner up and work with clubs and leagues all across the football pyramid, really. You know, we have like 78 partners now in the EFL and the Premier League, but we've also got lots of grassroots partners and, you know, working with the Islington League, the Northern Premier League and the Southern League, you know, they've all come together to, you know, collectively support Her Game 2 in such a way is, you know, incredibly important. And obviously I'm really, really proud to, you know, to be a part of that and to see it come into fruition. And it's really lovely to see clubs that, you know, we haven't had any kind of previous interaction with or actually not officially partnered up with, support in different ways. One club I particularly like to give a shout out to is Liversedge in Kirklees, who, you know, they have obviously seen this from, you know, from the Northern Premier League and completely run with it. And, you know, there are so many amazing clubs all up and down the country who have really kind of gone to town with it. And I for one can't wait to see all the different images and, you know, seeing what clubs do to celebrate it and just see all the positivity for us. Because for us, you know, International Women's Day is a celebration. It's a positive. And, we, you know, we want to encourage more women and girls to come along. And what perfect time to do it than this weekend.
It is perfect timing. And as you said, it's a bit like that. We celebrate Non-League Day, and that's been, you know, going for over a decade now, and it's helped bring more people into non-league. But yeah, I know from personal experience that Her Game 2 has brought more women into the game as well. You know, my personal friend of mine, Heather Hoggett, is now the AFC Bournemouth Her Game 2 ambassador. She's also now on the Cherries Trust there. When I first knew her, probably 10, 15 years ago, when I spoke about non-league football, she looked at me fairly blankly. Now she's fully involved, fully embraced in football because it creates that uniformity and it gives people a reason to get involved with football and understand football and what it should be about.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, for me, why I'm so passionate. You know, my football team that I support are in the Football League, but when I used to live in Manchester and when I couldn't go and watch my own team, I actually used to go and watch non-league football, a team called Atherton Collieries, and I used to absolutely love it. Like, the atmosphere was amazing and, you know, it reminded me of being at home. And, you know, it was such a friendly atmosphere, always super welcoming. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, that is their first, that can be, you know, one of their first experiences of watching or playing or participating in football is, you know, at non-league and grassroots level. And I think, you know, that should be celebrated. And I think, you know, as like, you know, you've seen players come through the ranks from non-league as well. So, you know, it's definitely something that's kind of growing. And I think seeing things like the non-league day where, you know, when football league clubs aren't playing or, you know, they might be playing away, you know, it's really, really important that people kind of you know, go to watch football in their local areas and support non-league football, because it is, you know, it's brilliant and it is so welcoming as well.
Yeah, and I guess a weekend of awareness, it doesn't solve a problem, but how can chairmen, how can players, how can fans of those clubs and other clubs up and down the pyramid, how can they get involved and embrace the movement?
Yeah, I mean, obviously for us, we're obviously really, really keen to work with clubs and organisations that kind of align and match our values and, you know, really promoting gender inclusivity and really encouraging women and girls to kind of spectate and participate. So obviously we're on all kind of social medias, Twitter or X, it's known as now, Facebook and Instagram. You can just search Her Game 2 or hashtag Her Game 2. But we also have our own website as well, hergame2.co.uk. And then, you know, we've all got our own kind of specific pages and I'm on there. So my kind of direct email is lucy@hergame2.co.uk. And obviously I'm really keen to kind of to speak to anyone in terms of like non-league and grassroots who really kind of want to promote the Her Game 2 message at their local clubs and, you know, really passionate about what we do and, you know, promoting gender inclusivity, obviously not just this weekend but throughout the season. But obviously this weekend is obviously a really kind of March is always our busiest time of the year, that's what we say, and you know, across the whole football pyramid there's going to be lots of dedicated fixtures this weekend, and you know, what better way to celebrate than to have it all across the three leagues and the Trident leagues.
Well, and I love grassroots, I love non-league, I've embraced it for decades now, but your title, Head of Grassroots. Now, that sounds like a job title of unenvious expanse, a voluntary role, as you've already said. I'm guessing this is just one of your many initiatives. That sounds a big task. March is busy. I'd imagine the rest of the year's busy as well.
Yeah. I mean, I probably describe it to people as, you know, having like a second full-time job. I mean, especially, you know, around International Women's Day, I probably think about Her Game 2 more than I do my own job at times, which is probably a little bit bad to say. But I think, like I said, we're all so passionate and driven to kind of make that difference and make a change in not only in football, but in other sports as well, because we've kind of branched out into other sports. And, you know, for me, I'm, you know, even though I'm one of the two Bristol Rovers ambassadors as well, co-founder, I'm also hugely passionate about grassroots football and non-league football. And, you know, like I said, I'm, you know, we're really kind of keen to spread that message, because for me, grassroots football is where it all begins and where people have their first experiences. And, you know, we want to make sure that everyone is getting that opportunity to play or, you know, coach and you know, in whatever ways that they want to. And, you know, for some people it's just for fun, or some people it can become a, you know, a career one day. So, you know, I'm kind of really keen to make sure that everyone is being supported and making sure they have the opportunity if they choose to.
Because as you say, it is, you know, the movement's wider than football now, but it's wider than that for anybody wanting to enjoy football. Because you say it may be their first big social experience as a kid, going to a football match, going to play football. And there are such a variety of jobs now available in non-league football, in the professional game. We need to embrace the changing culture, both on the field and off the field.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the thing. I think football has come a long way. And I think, you know, there's different kind of areas. Like when I was younger, I wasn't aware of things like, you know, analysts, and, you know, lots of people now do like sports science degrees, and, you know, seeing that, and, you know, you're seeing it filter further and further down the levels, you know, even at semi-professional levels, you're seeing these people coming in and with their ideas. And I think that's so important. And I think, you know, it's actually recognizing that, you know, like with physios and stuff, you know, that opportunity is there for everyone, whatever, you know, whether they want to, you know, become a physio, you know, they can do. And I think, you know, it's just making sure that they know that that is a space for them. And I think visibility is so, so important as well. And, you know, like touching on it being like a first experience, you know, one thing that we have also been doing, is, you know, first time fan initiatives, which has been, you know, incredibly successful. With clubs up and down the country, you know, within the EFL through our partnership with EA Sports. And actually this weekend we're actually doing it with Liverpool for the first time. We're doing it with an England match, and later in March with through our partnership with Circuit Hospitality. And I think, you know, offering these opportunities for women and girls to attend their first games, you know, and perhaps they've had barriers or reasons why they haven't been able to attend before, and now they're actually getting this opportunity to attend, and hopefully this is the start of something that's really exciting for them, and they, you know, they can attend more often, or, you know, that that barrier is becoming more and lesser and lesser. But, you know, I think for us, things like that is just huge.
Yeah, I mean, certainly for someone that's lucky enough to be involved in football, it is very exciting that her game two movement has, it's made a difference in football, certainly in terms of lobbying off the field as well, and an awareness, making people more aware of various issues. But have you got some tangible examples and noticeable improvements of fans attending as a result of that as well?
Yeah, I mean, we've noticed that, you know, we've got like our own reporting system in place, and we've had fans that have said that, you know, seeing our reporting posters up at the ground has made them feel more safer, and actually knowing where to go to report things as well. We've recently aligned with Kick It Out as well, and we're kind of supporting each other in terms of the reporting side as well, which I think for us is a huge collaboration. They do a lot of really, really important work in the anti-discrimination space, and I think, you know, to align with them and be in supporting each other, I think it's hugely important, you know, to help us out with, you know, action and reports, but us being able to offer that support, which is, you know, where we best kind of sit as well. And I think, you know, like I said, things like the first time fan initiatives, you know, lots of people kind of said that, like, since then they've realized that they, you know, they can attend games as well, and they've kind of wanted to attend games since. And that's always, we've had such positive feedback from that. We, you know, we've done it at Brentford and Brighton and Blackpool. And, you know, we're doing it, I think, at Plymouth this weekend as well. And, you know, just seeing the positive reactions from fans that, you know, haven't had the opportunity to attend and actually wanted to attend as well. And, you know, actually one thing that we've done as well in Bristol back in February was we worked with a local club called Longwell Green, and we did a celebration of grassroots football with them. They're an amazing partner of us. They've got a really big grassroots setup, and, you know, across both days, both sets of players, the men and the women, wore her game two t-shirts. They had the younger girls groups as mascots for both games. We had a her game two stall there. Lots of people with hand waver flags and the selfie frames, and lots of people engaging with us and just educating and learning a little bit more about what we do. And, you know, it was such a positive experience. I remember just spending the whole weekend with just the biggest smile on my face, and just seeing people of all ages just understanding what we were doing, and it was just so positive to be a part of as well.
Yeah, and that's the important thing, is it affects everybody. It's for everybody. It's for everybody to embrace the game and make sure that it is inclusive for everybody. You said you had a big smile on your face. As one of the co-founders, do you ever get time to sit back and just sort of look at what you've all achieved already?
I mean, it's hard, I think, because when things are so fast-paced, you don't get the opportunity to sit back and reflect. But sometimes you can, and I think those days that you can, you know, I'm incredibly proud of what, you know, not just myself, but the whole team, because it's, you know, there's the 12 initial co-founders, there's, you know, the four of us that kind of do the day-to-day running, but there's also, we have over 130 ambassadors, and without them, they are the ones that are kind of like the beating heart of their own clubs. They're the one that's spreading the Her Game Team message at their own clubs, and without them, we couldn't spread our message, you know, so widely. Yeah, it, you know, I'm incredibly proud to be a part of it. But until the day that we know it's going to take a long time to get real kind of change and improvement. But until that day comes, we'll continue working at it. And hopefully weekends like this weekend will be, you know, a positive celebration. And hopefully, you know, it'll encourage some more women and girls to attend. And, you know, they hopefully can become long-lasting football fans.
I hope so too. It's been a pleasure to get you on the Non-League Football Show. Best of luck with the weekend, Lucy, and speak to you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Time of the week then to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. Time to welcome back Executive Editor at the Non-League Paper, Mr. John Couch. Welcome back, John.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. All the better for having some sunshine still in the evening. So, you know, we can play these Saturday games without floodlights.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? Yeah, a bit of sunshine. We bet that this week probably the first decent midweek weather-wise for a while. Fans have fans have enjoyed sort of being able to go to games again without the fear of getting soaked. And yeah, it's been great. I'm just not sure it's going to last for long, but yeah, we'll enjoy it while it does.
It's been a strange week though. I do feel that there's a bit of a lull again in non-league news and that. But I guess that makes it even more exciting when we do get big matches. And last weekend, we did indeed have that with the FA Trophy, FA Vase quarterfinals. They threw up some surprises, although probably not the surprises some were expecting. I hear that it maybe wasn't a thriller at Oxford City against Woking, but it's certainly one that's going to live long in people's memories and probably in a few quiz rounds too.
Yeah, I think Oxford City supporters will be sort of looking back and, you know, with a tinge of regret. I mean, they come so close, didn't they, to what we've pulling off a real shock and beating Woking. Obviously, went 1-0 down early on, and they probably some might have feared the worst, but then come back to lead 2-1, and they led for so long, and right up until stoppage time, where Woking managed to find an equaliser, and then just scrape through on a penalty shootout. It's great, excellent entertainment really for the neutral, even if it wasn't the best game in the world quality wise, and. Yeah, it's put Woking into a semi final against Aldershot, which is it defies really belief.
Is it a Surrey derby? Is that fair? A Surrey derby, Aldershot Woking?
Well, no, Aldershot's Hampshire, so it's the Hampshire Surrey derby, even though they're only split by sort of 12 miles or so.
Yeah, well, and that penalty shootout for Woking as well. Will Jaskalainen, it's going to be a quiz question, isn't he? Three saves and he stepped up and scored the winning penalty. Again, if Hollywood are listening, there's a story.
Yeah, I mean, if they did end up getting to Wembley, then they'd have a huge there'll be a huge vote of thanks ready for. Yeah. For Will Jaskalainen, I mean, what a hero! What a way to win a cup tie! Three penalty saves and to score the winning goal as well. And it's stuff that the dreams are made of. Really, I know it's not the FA Cup, but it does put his team within one step of Wembley. Woking, of course, have a real rich FA Trophy tradition, and they're going to want to continue that on. And it's because of Will Jaskalainen and that they've got that chance now.
Yeah, and we did talk about maybe Sittingbourne creating another shock against Aldershot Town, but Aldershot ran out 3-0 winners in the end and sort of saw that threat off. Rochdale beating Altrincham 2-0 in their quarterfinal, and then there was a shock. Sutton United losing 2-0 to Spennymoor Town, who, by what I've seen, were well deserving of that victory.
Yes, I've been told the same. I understand they were magnificent. They obviously a long way to come for them. Not many people probably would have given them much of a shout against a team who certainly had the FA Trophy in their sights, only just out of the Football League, of course, packed with some top players. But went there with absolutely no fear at all. And in Glenn Taylor, they've got on his day one of the best strikers in non-league football, and he showed just why. He's just recently topped the 200 mark for his club. He's been there the best part of 10 years, and he actually disposed of Sutton in the FA Trophy. I think it was 8 or 9 years ago, and. He's done exactly the same thing again. I mean, what a talk about heroes. I mean, that's another heroic display, and what a performance, and what a shot by Spennymoor Town. And if Rochdale only need look at that scoreline really to sort of understand that Spennymoor certainly aren't going to be any pushovers in the semi-final. They're going to have to be at their metal, and Spennymoor Town, the pressure's off them. They go there with absolutely no fear. It promises to be two very, very intriguing semi-finals.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because I feel that this Northern affair, this Rochdale hosting Spennymoor Town in the other semi-final. I don't suppose Spennymoor are that fussed, concerned that it's an away trip because they're only one win away from Wembley.
That's it. I mean, I spoke to I heard from the manager Graham Lee this week, and he basically said the same. He said the pressure's completely. It's all on Rochdale. They've been to Sutton. They've already showed what they can do. They'll go to Rochdale on in the semi final with absolutely no fear at all. And well capable of doing the same. And I know Rochdale to Jimmy McNulty won't take them lightly at all. And I think if he does, or if any of the players do, then they could come unstuck because Spennymoor are a good side. Obviously, plenty of cup pedigree, and it's a one step from Wembley. Anything can happen.
Yeah, and those FA Trophy semi-finals are going to be played as single games on Saturday, the 5th of April. But the FA Vars is a two-legged affair. Their second leg will be the Saturday, the 5th of April, but the first legs are going to be played Saturday, the 29th of March. We saw Whiteleaf, Andover, New Street, Whitstable Town, Hartbury University run out winners in the FA Vars last weekend. All fairly tight affairs. Sets up semi-finals AFC Whiteleaf against Andover New Street and Whitstable Town against Hartbury University. And yet and again, their sides are doing so well at the top of their own divisions. The FA Vars is almost like its own form guide of non-league.
It really is. I mean, you only have to look at the scorelines from the quarterfinals. You said it was tight. Every game was separated by one goal. It was tight right throughout. The four sides that are going into the semi-finals are all very, very good sides, as you say. What's interesting is that the two favourites, arguably the two favourites, because with the Vars you just never know. Yes. But arguably the favourites are Hartbury University and AFC Whiteleaf have been separated, they'll certainly be. They certainly have eye on Wembley, but this is a stage really where you know the nerves really do kick in. I mean, the players are literally one tie away from Wembley now, and that for a step five player in a team that's been successful and riding high at the top of the league, it really does keep you going, and it's key now. And I was talking to the Hartbury manager just a few weeks ago, and it's key now to try and keep feet on the ground and keep the focus. But even he said, you know, when you're dealing with young guys, it's really, really difficult to do that, you know, because minds will naturally wander. And they're doing for a few nervy weeks, especially Hartbury. They're sitting pretty on the at the top of the Hellenic League, and they've got their set their sights on promotion, and that will probably be still remain their priority. But a trip to Wembley, wow! I mean, that really does open up opportunities for these players who probably would have dreamt of that since they were in their childhood days.
Yeah, and that's the problem, isn't it? You're trying to keep the focus is you've got obviously Whiteleaf chasing the title at the top of the Combined Counties Premier South, which is so tight anyway. You know, one of many chasing for that title there. Then you've got playoff chasing Wessex Premier, Andover New Street, their opposition, Whitstable Town, obviously they're chasing playoffs at least in the Southern Counties East Football League. Hartbury, as you say, in the Hellenic, they're also likely, I haven't looked at specifics, they're likely to be involved in local cups, league cups and that sort of thing. It's going to be a bit very, very busy few weeks. I like the fact that there's a second leg. I wonder whether clubs who were involved on so many fronts actually enjoy the fact that you've got two games to play in the FA Vars to get through.
Yeah, I like the second legs too. I think certainly in the trophy. I think if you'd have offered the four clubs who are there now a second leg. I know it's been a long hard season, and but I think those four clubs would have certainly taken that. And you know, obviously an extra chance, and certainly an opportunity to get a home game in. That could be key. And I just felt that the Canada still had room for a second leg in the trophy. I think it's a little bit of a shame. I mean, obviously, I look at the Aldershot Woking game, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, home advantage in a big, big derby like that is huge. I mean, I know Woking. I've been to Aldershot and I've won in the past, and Aldershot I've won at Woking in the past. But such a big occasion like that, you know, home advantage, I think, is probably too much really for a semi final. I don't think it would have made a huge amount of difference if that second leg hadn't been imposed. And I think it's great for these clubs as well, chance to pack their home in a big occasion, and you know, get their slice of the cherry as well. And I just felt that it was a little bit premature really to cut that second leg in the trophy. Let's give all of the semi-finalists the chance to have their big game at home and their chance to get to Wembley.
Yeah, and of course that day at Wembley, Saturday the 11th of May for the final. And but as you say, the season seems to be getting later and later. We mentioned last week about the National League playoff final being rolling into June. You do wonder whether a football season is something that's going to exist in 10 years' time.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, as we know, there's a lot of clubs that are planning for pre-season to start at the end of June these days. So, there really isn't much. It really isn't much in the way of time off. I'm not quite sure why it goes into June. I can only assume that's because of Wembley availability. It does seem a long time really from the end of the regulation season to the playoff final. There's going to be a lot of nervous managers and players, although managers will probably appreciate that little extra time to get players fit and obviously to ensure that everyone's ready for the big day, although chairman probably not so, because contracts will probably have to roll over for an extra couple of weeks. But in hindsight, I think having that big Wembley carrot would be great. I mean, and managers will certainly appreciate a couple of weeks off before in preparation for that big day.
Yeah, of course, they'll all want the title. And while we're there, we might as well talk about the National League, because Barnet extended their lead again this week. They're top on 79 points now, 9 clear of York, who have a game in hand, as do Forest Green Rovers, but they're a further 3 points behind. It was all about midweek, wasn't it? Barnet, I mean, they talk about showing their desire this week. They 5-0 midweek grubbing of Yeovil, while Forest Green lost 2-1 at FC Halifax, and York went down 2-1 at home to Altrincham. There's never an easy game, but I think this week Barnet really did stamp their mark, or stamp their size 12s definitely on the National League top of the table.
Yeah, it felt like a real pivotal week, didn't it? Barnet just keep going strength to strength, don't they? I was looking at some stats. Over the last 11 games, they've won 9, and the other two have been goalless draws. And in that time, they've scored 27 goals and conceded 2. I mean, there's been a great deal of talk about Barnet scoring goals from everywhere. They had 5 different goal scorers again on Tuesday night. But to concede 2 just shows that they've got that resilience and that power at the back as well, and they just seem to be going, as you say, from strength to strength. They just don't seem to be holding back. Their running is pretty kind as well, and they really are going to take some stuff. And I know I've said York throughout, and it takes a great man to be able to change his mind, so I'm going to declare it now. But I just think with York and Forest Green losing and Barnet winning, it just felt like a real pivotal week in the title race. 9 points is a lot when you consider that Barnet are just playing so, so well at the moment, and it just seems to be a real good vibe about the place at the moment, and a vibe of champions, really. And I think we probably could be talking about the race for the playoffs, I think, in the next couple of weeks, because the way they're going, it's going to be over pretty quickly, I think.
Well, yeah, and I'm looking at the weekend's fixtures, of course. Barnet at home to Dagenham and Redbridge, who are struggling for a win, shall we say, in recent weeks. Mm. And then you've got York hosting Forest Green Rovers. That gap could further extend this weekend.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, if ever you wanted a week like that, it wasn't a game that either York or Forest Green needed, really, after a midweek like that. What a cracking game that could be, by the way. York obviously losing at home on Tuesday night to Altrincham really, really opened it up. But Forest Green have stuttered as well they're recently. And again, the defeat to FC Halifax has sort of left them sort of trailing in their wake a little bit. So They're going to need to win at York on Saturday, and you've got Barnet at home to Dagenham, and Lewis Young still looking for his first win at Dagenham. They're falling like a stone. I really do fear for them at the moment. They need to find something from somewhere, and if they can get something from their London rivals on Saturday, then that will do their confidence no end of good. But that's going to be a one big ask, because as we said, Barnet are absolutely flying at the moment, and that's the last place that Lewis Young and his Dagenham side would want to go, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and I'm looking as well for those playoff spots, because we always have one of these a club on a late run, don't we? And what, 55 Altrincham there, 55 points in seventh place there. You could go, as low as maybe Solihull Moors in 15th on 43 points. Got a realistic opportunity of still making those playoffs. That's why we love the National League set up of the playoffs.
It is, yeah, it really is. And there's plenty of sides in there that you feel would fancy their chances. Altrincham certainly one of them. They always seem to come good, don't they, Altrincham? Mm. And at just the right time. And if they do get in there, they're going to be one tough nut to crack. FC Halifax as well. I mean, you have to give them credit. They're always there, aren't they? I've written them off many times, and they prove me wrong time after time. They just go about their business so quietly. And Chris Millington, I think, is an absolute genius at that. You just keep his powder dry and just keep going. As for Solihull, I actually fear for Solihull a little bit. Points wise, you could say that there's still in a mathematical chance of playoffs, but I would probably argue that they could equally be a chance of getting sucked into that relegation, because that's another team who are really, really struggling for points at the moment. I think the new manager is still winless. And but as you say, that's why we love the National League. If you've got teams like Solihull, it could go either way for them. It shows just how tight it is. And if you can put together a few wins, or if you slip up for sort of two or three games and find yourself in a bit of a rut, then it can make a real, real difference, as the teams at the bottom are finding now that at the bottom there's a real real dogfight going on. And I think we're in for a cracking end of the season.
We are indeed. And we talk about it being so tight at the top of the National League and throughout the division, but it's similar up and down the pyramid, as we keep saying it week in, week out. I thought I'd highlight the North West Counties League this week. Bury atop. They've now scored 113 goals in the league season. They've played 39 games. They've got 88 points. Rams Modern United are second. They've played 38. They've got a game in hand, and they're only 10 points behind. But they've only scored 76 goals so far. So, but the interesting point of that division as well is that Lower Breck in third, they're just 2 points behind Ramy, and they've got two games in hand over them. So over this is a 46 game league season. So they, as I say, Bury have played 39. So it's not all over, but you've got three sides there. In another season, they all might be expecting, with those records, to be nailed on title winners.
Yeah, they're fantastic records, and yeah, obviously just caught Bury, in the moment. They probably argue that they should have gone up last year. They've obviously strengthened even more. They've got that great backing behind them. I think it's great to see them. Great to see them back. I think they're going to be a huge addition to Step 4 football next season. But as you say, Ramsbottom and Lower Breck, two sides who have taken them all the way. Thankfully, they got some playoffs to play for this year. No super playoffs as such, but they'll get the opportunity to go up. But yeah, in that division, you obviously got you got three top teams there, and unfortunately, one of them is got to miss out. But that will mean a really intriguing playoff semi-final, as I'm sure there's going to be a few at Step 5 and 6 over the coming weeks.
Yeah, and it's been, you know, as I say, a fairly quietish week in non-league. On the managerial merry-go-round, that's equally been the same. I guess the big announcement, probably Angelo Harrop, most recently at Braintree Town, being announced as the new man at Chelmsford City. But of course, not yet, because he's going to take over at the end of the season when Robbie Simpson will step down, as we announced a few weeks back now. We get it in other businesses, this succession planning type thing, John, but it's not a bad thing, by the way, but we don't often see it in football, and certainly not a lot in non-league football.
No, we don't, but I agree with you. I think it's a good thing. I think it's, Robbie Simpson's obviously come out and stated his intentions beyond the end of the season. The club have obviously recognised that, and probably pounced to get Angelo Harrop. I mean, he's someone who's obviously done so well with Braintree. He's going to be someone that a lot of clubs will be looking at in the summer. So they've got him first. They're obviously going up from a part-time model to a more sort of hybrid-y type, maybe even full-time model for next season. They're obviously going for it, and in National League South. And Angelo Harrop was the man that they pinpointed. We've got an interview with Angelo in this week's NLP, and he's really excited. And obviously, it gets the irony that Chelmsford were his big rivals while he was at Braintree, and now he's been a bit of a turncoat, and is now leading his big rivals. But really, really looking forward to it. I think it's a great move for him, and a really, really good appointment for Chelmsford. Robbie Simpson's obviously done a really, really good job there. I can see why many will. A few will say that it was time really to cut ties. They haven't had the season the success this season that they've enjoyed in the past. But that's a big football club, and they'll be back, I'm sure. And next year, with that new model and with Angelo Harrop in charge, yeah, I think there could be a real threat next year.
Yeah, and I said, we don't see it that often in non-league football, but maybe it's a sign of the pressures of being a manager that we speak about week in, week out, because just like the old 207 bus, a reference for all those who grew up in Middlesex, it never happens, but then two, indeed three, come along at once. There's no replacements announced yet, as far as I'm aware, but Woodbridge Town, the joint managers Luke Hyam and Billy Clark have announced their intention to step down at the end of the season after being with the club, what, three seasons, I think? The club just outside the playoffs, eight games to play in the third non-premier, and then also announcing their departure at the end of the season, the team of Stuart Bawdley and Andy Crump, who've been doing so well at Felixstowe Moreton United this season in particular, currently top of Isthmian Division 1 North in that battle for the title with, again, Brentwood Town, Bury Town, Waltham Abbey. But guys making this decision that they need to take the step back, whether they appear back in the dugout at the start of the new season, who knows? But it's a sign of the times, isn't it, in non-league football now?
Yeah, I mean, the way to go out, though. But by the way, yeah, we spoke to Stuart Bawdley as well this this week, and yeah, he pretty much said the same. I think it was a conscious decision, one that they had made some time ago. The problem they got is when to announce it. I mean, I think it got to the point where they couldn't hold it secret anymore. But they've got a bit of a problem now because obviously that now they're going to be stepping down, and they're using it as a tool to inspire his players to you know, get the job done at the end of the season. But it's about be a little bit of sort of skepticism, as you know, like from the players' point of view, as to what's going to happen from here. What will their futures hold? And yeah, they're sitting pretty on top of the division, but as you say, it's really, really tight in there with Bury and Brentwood. It's a bit of a precarious time for an announcement like that to be made. I hope it doesn't bite him on the bum, It's one that could go either way. I mean, they've obviously got a plan in place, and you know, this announcement will inspire everyone around them to finish the job. But yeah, I'm sure there'd be a little bit of uncertainty, I think, around the players, and yeah, I just hope that that announcement hasn't been made too premature.
Yeah, I mean, it is a real double-edged sword, isn't it? And I think that's where Chelmsford have done well to appoint so quickly and so well, so that there is some sort of continuity. It's, you know, obviously not the same manager, but obviously, I guess, you know, Stuart Broadley and Andy Crump, they're trying to be fair to the club as well, and fair to the players, because, you know, at this time of year, also managers are looking for recruitment for the new season as well. So if you're not going to be there, then you don't want to be spending someone else's budget, to be fair to the club, I guess. It'll be interesting to see how it pans out. And you know, as ever, best laid plans don't always run true to form, do they?
No, that's it. Yeah, as you say, double-edged sword. It could work either way. But they've obviously thought about it. They've obviously got a plan in place. They know their players better than anyone. They know their board as well as anyone. And you know, the club obviously felt comfortable enough to be able to do that at this moment in time. Maybe you, by using the confidence of sitting pretty on top of the table. That always helps, doesn't it? Mm. And yeah, there's a little bit of a fear, a little bit of a danger, but I'm sure they know what they're doing. So you know, who am I to question it? But it certainly looks to be an excellent end of the season in that division. You know, we're Cole Scoozes, Bury Town are right on their heels, as are Brentwood, and yeah, that division's really shaping up for a bit of a grandstand finish, really.
And we are getting to that part of the season, of course, winding up and sort of celebrating the best of non-league, where, you know, promotions and cups are celebrated. We spoke with Lucy Ford earlier about her game to a weekend with the Trident Leagues this weekend, but we've got non-league day coming up, 22nd of March, two weekends time. It's still not too late for clubs to get involved, and indeed for fans of clubs to help them get involved too. John, have you sensed anything, you heard anything on the grapevine, any big initiatives going on at various clubs up and down the land?
Well, we've got a story coming in the paper this week. Our colleague John Lyons has been investigating Atletico Bilbao, Athletic Bilbao from Spain. They've thrown their weight around, behind non-league day. They've got English links, and James Doe, our friend who is the founder of non-league day, has been talking to John and explaining how they've been, as I say, thrown their weight behind non-league day. They'll be over here and enjoying the English sunshine for the day, which is great. I mean, great to get non-league day out there, and even outside of the UK is fantastic. He was telling us a little bit about a few initiatives. I think Ascot United have got something pretty special planned. when they play at home to Farnham Town, right in the middle of Ascot Racecourse. Obviously, that's it's a good time of year for the horse racing fraternity. And yeah, Ascot have planning a bit of a fun day, really, to try and get try and turn some race fans into football fans for the day. I think there's a number of clubs who are planning things. We're expecting a few more announcements over the next few days, but it's certainly a day for your diary, and as non-league day always is. And let's hope that people can turn up in their droves and support the event. We obviously, I've always said that every day's non-league day to likes of me and you and everyone involved of non-league football. But it's a day really to get those who maybe don't see non-league football.
I think
it's definitely a day
to show off, isn't it? It's like having your new car and sort of making it nice and shiny. Bring your mates down, let them see what it's all about.
That's it, yeah.
And talking about bring your mates down, make sure that they buy the non-league paper as well, because John, you've already mentioned a few of the articles that we expect to read in this weekend's paper, but it does make Sunday special. Anything else we can expect to read from the great tome from non-league paper towers?
Yeah, obviously we've got plenty of trophy stuff and vars. We've spoken to Whitstable Town manager Jamie Coyle, who's an old friend of the paper, doing really well there at Whitstable. I had a nice chat with Gus Scott Morris this week. He's the Southend United player, very popular down there at Roots Hall. He's got 15 goals from wing back this season, and
he scored 15 goals from anywhere, you become popular.
That's it. Well, yeah, I don't think he's very popular with the strikers because he's been giving them a fair bit of stick. But his season just goes from strength to strength, and to the point recently, even I can't quite believe what's happening. We got some nice step two interviews this week. Chorley's Mark Ellis talking of goal scoring defenders. He's got 11 for Chorley this week. He's been around a long time, Mark Ellis, and he's really firing up their promotion bid. And I had a nice chat with Eastbourne Borough's Courtney Clark as well. And Eastbourne Borough and the team are going really, really well in the south. Adam Murray, manager, is someone who's been rumoured to be heading to Blackburn Rovers in the summer. Don't really know as yet the foundations behind those rumours, but Courtney Clark has been singing the praises of his manager, as you expect him to do, really. But they're obviously really looking forward to the promotion running there. So some nice chats, and the usual really. But obviously we've got another busy week on the field on Saturday, so another jam-packed weekend, and looking forward to it.
And so are we. John Couch, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. Speak to you soon.
No problem. Thank you. Cheers, Tim.
And that is it for this week. Before you go, it is time of year, of course, when promotion and relegation aren't too far from any conversation in and around non-league football. Good news this week, collaboration. So typical of the non-league game. Old friend of the show and maestro of non-league promotion and relegation sheets, Peter Miller, has teamed up with our mutual friends at Non-League HQ to make this season sheets even more up-to-date and even more an essential bookmark. This year, the sheet is already underway and can be found at http://bit.ly/non-league2425. That's bit.ly non-league2425. Dave Anderson and the non-league gaffer tapes return with the second episode very shortly. And of course, you can get involved on this show and that show on social media at non-league show, myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom and Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe then. Enjoy your football. Thank you and goodbye.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.